On behalf of the family, many thanks for joining with us this afternoon as we say our final farewells and pay our respects to Colin. I think we can see that Colin's legacy has very much been his family. I think the family have half filled the room, and that has been what he's left us, the love and the devotion of his family. Let's just ask for God's help, first of all, this afternoon, shall we, and bow our heads asking for God's help. Our Father, we do come into thy presence this afternoon and become our Father at a time of our great need. It is often these times that we're found in thy presence, and we do look, our Father, for help this afternoon. And what we have to do is a difficult thing, it's a painful thing, for we know, our Father, that it is love that binds us together and love that draws us to each other and that makes those family bonds. And when it comes, our Father, to these times of departing and farewells, those bonds pull us in one direction as death, our Father, takes another. And so we do just commit each one to thee. We thank thee, our Father, for all that meant so much to Colin. And we know, our Father, that each member of that family, Colin, is so precious to them. And so we commit each one to thee. Remember Graham and Maz and Caroline and the grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We do just commit them all to thee, our Father. We remember, Father, too, on these occasions that thou art the God of all comfort, and one, our Father, who is able to give a peace when we don't even understand how we can have peace, a peace that goes beyond our understanding. And we pray for that this afternoon. We pray for a sense of peace and a sense of comfort. And we thank thee, our Father, too, that as we look back, we look back with fondness. And we thank thee, our Father, for fond memories of a father and grandfather. And we thank thee, our Father, for a neighbour and a friend to many. And we thank thee, our Father, for good times and the care and the love and the devotion that was shown by Colin to each one here. That's something we have to be thankful for. And we do offer our Father our thanks for Colin's life and for his legacy to us this afternoon. Be with us, our Father, we pray, as we would just reflect for a little while upon what he has meant to each one here. And as we do give thanks and look, our Father, to the Word of God for help and encouragement as we offer thanks, our Father, praying for that help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to turn, first of all, to the Word of God, just to read a few verses, and then we will share something of the life of Colin, just a brief summary. There's been a lot packed in over those years. And we had one of those brainstorming sessions, I think you call it, in the house. And I was getting all sorts of stuff flung at me. And I'll try my best just to bring one or two of those things together. And we'll miss out the bits that I don't think we should remember. But we'll bring in most of it and hopefully just give a little flavour. I know you'll all have your own memories. And we'll all be touched in our own way by Colin's life. Now I'm going to go to the end of the book of Genesis for a few verses. We'll come back to these maybe in a minute or two. It's a scene that perhaps, I'm afraid, is familiar to us this afternoon. It's a deathbed scene. It's a scene of parting. It's a scene of loving and of leaving, and a difficult one. And I wanted just to see perhaps in these verses as to maybe a time of comfort that can come and something that can help us as we break those bonds and we say our farewell. So I'm going to the life of Jacob. He's a tremendous life, and he left a legacy, and it's set in Egypt, and interestingly enough, there was a great man in Egypt, Pharaoh, I'm sure we've heard of. Pharaoh would leave a legacy. We remember his legacy today. It's there in his temples, and it's there in his pyramids, but you know, Jacob was going to leave a legacy too, but you wouldn't see it so much in fame or fortune. You would see it in his family. And it's his family that he left behind, and that was his legacy to the world. And he says farewell to his family here in Genesis 49 and 29 says, "And he charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife, and there they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife, and there I buried Leah." And verse 1 of chapter 50, "And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. And the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed, and the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spoke to the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die in my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. We'll come back to those words later on. So we're saying farewell to Colin. I got to know Colin really just latterly in the last year or so, partly, of course, through the event that happened just about a year ago with the death of Suzanne, and we were here, it doesn't seem that long ago, just saying farewell to Suzanne. And I visited Suzanne once or twice and Colin there, and I was struck by his devotion to his wife. There was really a total commitment. I don't think you would have found anyone that would have been a better nurse than Colin, and whatever she needed, he seemed to be able to attend to it. And that, of course, was a story that had begun many, many years ago. It began way back in the 70s, where they met here in Cumnock, and married 1979. That takes me back to my childhood, for some before you were born, but maybe a long time ago for some of us. And from then on, they've been together. And they've been devoted to each other. And that was so evident, you know, as I visited the home there in Nether Third. Colin, a man, what can we say about Colin? Well, one or two things struck me as I heard the story of the life of Colin. He certainly was a resourceful character. He was a man that maybe didn't have money flung at him, but he always managed to put food on the table. I don't think maybe the rabbits were too fond of that, but he was resourceful. And the rivers and the fields round about Cumnock, they supplied some of the needs of the family. He was a resourceful character. And, you know, listening to his life was a bit like going down through a CV. And you could see all the kind of jobs that he did over the years. So he was certainly a man that could, a man that turned his hand to anything. And he seemed as well, perhaps, at times to be able to do me out of a job, because he had a wee bit of knowledge round about of the herbs and things that you could use for everyday ailments. So if you really wanted to skip the GP appointments, then I think maybe Colin was the man with his rosehip syrup and these local remedies that would be the man to turn to first stop. But whatever kind of area of life you might think about as being something you could be employed in, probably Colin did it. And probably he was pretty good at it. Gardening, not my forte, but he was good at it. And he used to look after one of the doctor's, gardens in the village, Macmillan, a name I don't recognise, but he looked after that garden and he won prizes for his gardens. Cooking, well, yeah, he seemed to be quite good at the cooking. He was pretty famous, or maybe infamous, for fish cakes, not my forte, I have to say. Maybe more his deep-fried Mars bars would go down better in the Gillespie household, but that was part of his forte as well, cooking. What about painting and decorating? Well, he was a plasterer and he did the Artex, and the days of the Artex could turn his hand to that. Baking, again, not my forte, but he had a job there at McRoberts, and then in the tile factory in Ochiltree. I'm not sure there was any jobs that he didn't do or couldn't do, and what he did, he seemed to do them very, very well. A man that could turn his hand to anything. Of course, Colin's great passion and his interest was his family. And it's his family who are going to miss him the most. Graham, Maz and Caroline, first generation. And we're now on to a second generation. I've got a list, and I'm always wary of my lists of names in case I miss someone and then I get in real trouble. But I'm just going to mention them. Some of yous I know, some of yous I don't. Amy and Christy, Jamie Lee, Lauren, Tamsin, Skye, and wee Graham. I've got two Grahams. And then a next generation onto the great-grandchildren as well. And it was that, of course, that was his passion, his love, his family. And it's that he has left, and it's those that appreciate him most. Now, Colin, of course, loved to spend time with yous. I hear that he didn't maybe travel too far, but he liked to go the walks with the dogs. Whenever I visited, I don't know, I think maybe you could write above those dogs that he used to have, the German Shepherds, eats almost anything, particularly fond of children, one of those kind of dogs. It seemed to always be locked in the back room whenever I came. I'm wary of dogs, and I would be particularly wary of some of those dogs. Zeus, I think it was, wasn't it? I think he was the god of war, and that maybe would be an appropriate name. But he loved these German Shepherds. I didn't, and he kept them away from me, and I'm glad about that. But he loved to walk the dogs, and he walked the grandchildren as well as walking the dogs. Trips to Arran were highlighted as well, and trips as well, of course, to Girvan. And, of course, the story with Colin and Girvan goes way back to 1979 at least. I don't know if any of you guys are, or many of you guys, are planning on getting married. Some of you, I know, have just got married. Well, an idea perhaps for a honeymoon, a night in Girvan. How would that strike us today? Maybe wouldn't it be just top of the list there, would it be, with two holidays? But that was where they went. And maybe ever since then, that's been a place that has held an affection for Colin. And they love to go down there, fish and chips, I believe it was, and a wee trip down to Girvan. These were places of fond memory, I know, for Graham and Maz and Caroline and the girls. So, see, Colin didn't travel very far. As a strange twist of history and life, born and brought up in Menzies Avenue, and that's where we last saw him, and where he left us. His parents moved from Glasgow many years ago, when Cumnock and the surrounding area was a place thriving and bustling with industry. Lots of factories about, including the Fenners factory that ultimately Colin worked in, but it was also a place of mining and mines, and that was the background to his family's movement down here. Part of a larger family compared to these days. There were seven of them. Well, maybe not that big compared to some of us, but seven, that's a reasonable number. And maybe life at times wasn't so easy. Things had to be stretched to meet the needs of the seven kids. He was interested in a variety of things, including the fishing and the hunting. But as we've said, the biggest thing that he's left is the biggest legacy is his family. Now, the story might have been a wee bit different had things been different back 40, 50 years ago. Maybe if 40, 50 years ago we had the X Factor or Britain's Got Talent or some of the social media, maybe today we would be remembering him for his singing, because one of the escapades he got up to was sneaking out after bedtime down to the town hall, and he entered himself into a talent competition. Now, his parents had told him not to do that, but in the best traditions of Colin, he didn't listen. I've got five boys, and I know exactly where his parents would be coming from. He didn't listen. And not only did he not listen and enter the talent competition, he got second prize. But it didn't seem to go any further than that. But, you know, maybe if in those days we had social media, maybe he would have had a million hits, I don't know. And we would be remembering him today for his fame. But today we remember him, and I think mainly for his family, those that loved him, and those that he loved. And it's that, of course, that touches each of our hearts. I wanted just to turn a little moment, please, to Genesis chapter number 50. And I wanted to think a little bit about that subject of loving and leaving, because I know that for all of us here, that parting is going to be very painful. It's going to be very difficult. And we've got a picture here in Genesis 40 that Genesis 49 and Genesis 50, that maybe echoes of something that we are going through today. Sometimes perhaps we open a book like the Bible and we think, oh, it's an old book and it's people from years ago and maybe they seem far and far away. And yet, I think as we read that story of a man, Jacob, on his deathbed and his parting from his sons, maybe there are things there that we see haven't changed. These things haven't changed in hundreds of years, thousands of years. It's the same story. It's the same story of death and of parting. And in Genesis chapter number 50, the boys are gathered around that scene, and they are about to part from their father. Now, this man, Jacob, he's left a tremendous legacy. As I say, he hasn't left fame or fortune. He's not left wealth, but what he has left is his boys, he's left his family. and it's a great family. And there are those there that feel the pain of that experience. You know, over the last century or so, there have been some great discoveries made in science. It was Einstein that discovered how it is that the planets hold in place, pulling on one another. It was Newton that discovered gravity and how objects attract to one another. But in the Word of God, we find that God has put something in each of our hearts that holds us together to one another. It's called love. And in the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul says that love is that together glue of perfectness. It pulls us together. And as we face death, that glue gets stretched and we feel the pain of it, because that great bond that God has given that holds us together begins to feel broken. And in Genesis 50, there are some things, you know, that perhaps we can see that maybe just help those boys say farewell. The first, of course, is this, that whilst it might be the case that they didn't feel ready, they weren't ready to let go. In these verses, you know, Jacob, in a sense, he was ready to go. He was ready to go. My mind goes back just about a year ago, when there was a tremendous pull that pulled apart Colin and Suzanne. And in Genesis 49, here's Jacob's thoughts and his departure. I want to go where Abraham and Sarah, his wife, are buried. And I want to go where Isaac and Rebekah, his wife, they're buried. And I've buried my wife, Leah, and I'm going to go to where she's buried. And there maybe was a sense in which, in Genesis 50, there was a bond that had been broken, and in a sense, Jacob was ready now to go to be where Leah was. But not only that, there was this great sense of legacy here in Genesis chapter number 49. I notice, you see, that Joseph and his brothers, they weren't really ready to let go. It says there in verse 2, and Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. They wanted to hold on, but they couldn't hold on. It was ready. It was a time to let go. There was a person there in Genesis 50 called Joseph. And Joseph's an interesting character. Joseph felt the pain of that more than anybody else, because Joseph had been there before. Joseph had, in a sense, lost his father in the past. Joseph had suffered like nobody else had suffered. Joseph had been in prison and he'd been a slave. Joseph had known grief. There's one other verse that I wanted just to read with you this afternoon, and it's in the book of Isaiah in chapter 53. I'm just thinking about the sorrow that we're going through. And Isaiah 53 speaks about the Lord Jesus. And it says in Isaiah 53, verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. There was somebody there in Genesis 49 and 50 that understood the sorrow more than anybody. And in the Word of God, we find something strange said about God. We find a God who understands our sorrow and our suffering better than anyone. Sometimes in our sorrow and suffering, we look at God and we say, how can God do that to me? In Genesis and in Isaiah 53, here's a different thought. God looks at man and God says, how can man do that to me? Because his son was given for us. His son suffered for us. His son's blood was shed for us. His son went to Calvary for us. The Lord Jesus Christ entered into death, suffering, and the grave for us. And the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He died for my sin, and he took my place. And right the way through the Word of God, we have an echo not only of death and sorrow and suffering, but of God's great solution to it, of God's great hope for it. And that lies uniquely in his Son, Jesus Christ, that God loved this world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In our sorrow and in our suffering, we have the assurance that God understands, God cares. And you know, God has made a provision in the Lord Jesus for when our time comes, that we might know the hope of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, and the hope of salvation. That's all I want to say this afternoon. We've got a little time at the grave. The weather, of course, not in our favour, but we'll read a verse or two there and share just a little thought or two from Colin. Now, we haven't any hymns to sing, but we have a request here. One of my favourite hymns, the Old Rugged Cross, that will be played. And it's a great hymn, isn't it? On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Maybe not quite based on Isaiah 53, but not a million miles away from Isaiah 53. It's about a saviour who entered into death and suffering and offered a sacrifice for our sins that you and I might be able to enter into his heaven by faith. We'll just keep our seats as that music is played, the Old Rugged Cross. Thanks. Let's just pray together. Our Father, we do come into thy presence again this afternoon with thanksgiving. We thank thee, our Father, for a life that has been led, that has touched each one here. And we thank thee, our Father, for the love that has been shown, that we remember with fondness. We thank thee, our Father, for the character that we knew and loved in Colin. And we thank thee, our Father, for the care. And we think, our Father, of the provision that he made for each one. And we think, our Father, of the loss that there is to each heart this afternoon. We remember, our Father, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and we do just commit them all to thee for peace and for comfort. We thank thee, our Father, for the assurance that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we thank thee, our Father, that there is one who cares, who understands, who has made provision, our Father, for us. We thank thee, our Father, for the Saviour. And we thank thee, our Father, for a God who has entered into death and suffering. We thank thee, our Father, for the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee, our Father, that as we go to a grave, it's a place where the Saviour one day went. And we thank thee, our Father, that he indeed is, for each one who trusts him, the resurrection and the life. And we thank thee, our Father, that his cross is the place that we can turn to, and we can appreciate that there is indeed a God who cares and a Saviour who has suffered for us. And we do just commit ourselves to thee. We thank thee, our Father, for Christ. We thank thee, our Father, for the Word of God, for encouragement and help that we get. And we do just pray for help later on as we would lay finally to rest Colin there in the ground of Cumnock. As we offer thanks, our Father, just praying for thy help in Jesus' name.